we'll get on here with a message that really fits in with a lot of the topics that we talked about in club this morning, because some of the topics dealt with, what would we share if we could share one thing about the years that we've been in God's church? What would that be? What would our advice be to someone? And there were a lot of good comments. I'm not going to tell you what the comments were, because you should have been at club and you would have known. No, I'll share that with you in a bit. But, when you think about topics and what should I talk about today, and you pray about it, God, help me to talk about something that's helpful, that's beneficial, and because that's why we're up here. We're certainly not up here for any other reason than that, is to be a tool and allow God to help us to get his message to you. And one thing that I've always struggled with, and I know many other people have too, and that's Bible study. Studying God's Word. Because we couldn't, if you were in club and asked that question, what's the one thing you would share? Well, if we're not sure what the Bible says, if we don't know God's Word, how could we have a whole lot to share? So it's very important that we do understand the Bible, that we do know what it says, that we're not swept away by strange doctrine, we're not blown away off our feet every time somebody comes up with a new idea, that we don't look at what's going on around the world and say, wow, they've got a better idea. They've really got something. I think I'll study that and see. No, if we study God's Word and understand what it says, we'll be grounded, and we'll be grounded well. But does it make sense when you sit down to read it, the Bible? Does it come together? Is that something you're motivated to do? Need to take a half hour, an hour, and study the Bible tonight or this morning or whenever you can? But many people say studying the Bible is one of the most difficult things they try to do, finding time to do it. Finding time to have your mind just shut down from all of the daily things you've been doing and just shut down and focus on God's Word. It can be difficult. How many of you on a Friday evening have had one busy day and you go home and you try to get your mind away from that and your mind's just going, turning, and you can't seem to stop it and get it focused on God? It can be difficult at times, and that's the way it is with Bible study. But the great thing is God has made his Word available to us in the pages of the Bible and has offered to help us understand what his Word says. We don't have to be ignorant of God's Word. If we ask him in prayer on our knees humbly, show me what your Word says. Show me your truth. Show me so I can understand. God will do that. The Bible is the most important book and the best-selling book of all times. That's acknowledged around the world. But how many people actually open it up? How many people look into it? I don't know if it was in club this morning. Somebody mentioned about Mr. Armstrong, and I think it might have been Neil. Mr. Armstrong used to always say, blow the dust off your Bible and open it up and read it. How true is that? How true is that? That's the state of many people today. They don't look at the Bible. It's sitting there gathering dust. But there are some things we must do before we can even begin to put the words of the Bible into a clear and understandable picture in our minds. There's a right way and a wrong way to study the Bible. God is the only one who can open our minds to separate the truth from deception. God has to be involved. We can't do it on our own. We've read about, we know about, we've heard about many scholars, supposedly religious scholars of the world, who do not honor and keep God's law. They don't observe the Ten Commandments. Yet they're renowned, educated people, supposedly in the Word of God. But without God, without God's Holy Spirit guiding and directing us, we miss a lot. We just don't get it. God's the only one who can open our minds to separate truth from deception. 1 Corinthians, if you turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 6. It's talking here about spiritual wisdom. And it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. So all of this worldly knowledge really is going to come to nothing. It's not going to get anybody anywhere on a permanent basis. It might temporarily, but it's going to come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. God's Holy Spirit that we have and we are given at baptism. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Jesus Christ and able to look at scriptures and able to read them and understand them only because God has opened our minds to do that. And we have to understand that. God gives us that understanding in Him alone through His Holy Spirit. Through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we're able to understand God's Word. I don't know about you, but I'm still amazed that I can open this book and I can read something and I get it. And I get it. And it's because of nothing I've done. But God has opened my mind. God has given me His Spirit to understand this. And you look at this and you say, why can't people see this? Why don't they get it? Well, we didn't get it before God opened our mind. But He's given us that gift of His Holy Spirit. And are we using that to study His Word and know what He's saying? And to understand the Bible so we're not confused. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 27. And when I read this, I realize God certainly didn't call me because of I'm so smart. Verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame, to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. God doesn't need all of the brainiacs of this world. He doesn't need them. God is so much beyond that in His wisdom. And He gives us, you and me, the foolish of the world. We're not the smartest people in the world. We don't have all of the education. But we do have God's Spirit. We do have our mind open and are led by God's Holy Spirit. That makes the difference. That makes it so we can study and we can read and we can understand and we can put this together. So we can clearly see without God's help, we cannot understand the Bible. That's what the scriptures tell us. We have to look at this spiritually, not physically. We have to get beyond our own reasoning. We have to go to God's reasoning and look at it in a spiritual sense, because it is. The Bible is about spiritual things. It's about our eternal life, our future. And that's exactly what God is waiting for us, along with everyone else, to do, is to understand what He's saying, to put into our life, our daily lives, the truth, the understanding that we're getting out of the Bible. And He wants us to turn ourselves over to Him and ask for spiritual wisdom and understanding as we study, as we open these pages, and take whatever time we have, whatever time we set aside, to grow in our knowledge of spiritual things. And after we come to the realization that we do need help from God, we can now begin. We can begin to open up this book, realizing we're not alone, realizing we have help to understand it. The Bible can be confusing. It can say things that have us questioning something we may have believed before. But God, through His Holy Spirit, can help us to better understand that. Guide us to other scriptures that will clarify that. Guide us in a way we can't do on our own. But we can open the pages of the Bible and see God and Jesus Christ as we've never seen Him before. As we see them as Father and Son, we see them as Creator, we see them as Savior, we see them in so many different ways. And we will become filled with a hope of our great future as we're educated in the Word of God, as we study, as we take that in and put it in and make it a part of our thoughts, a part of our lives. But finding time for Bible study can be a real challenge. Seems like there's always something that needs to be done, somewhere to go, and I just don't have time. But our number one enemy will do whatever he can to convince us that we can put study off. We'll do another time. No big deal if I don't get it done. Just I'll find time some other day to do it. And as most of us know, that time doesn't come around. We have to make that time. We have to be diligent. We have to make that effort ourselves. Our approach to studying the Bible and what we believe is very important to being successful. And when I say successful, I don't mean physically. I mean spiritually. To be successful in our relationship. And we talked about that in club as well. How important our relationship on a daily basis, how important it is with God, with our Creator, with Jesus Christ, with one another, and that we maintain those relationships. I don't know about you, but I hated homework when I was in school. I hated it. Teacher mentioned homework, I'm just down. I got things to do. I got places to go. I got other kids to play with. You know, I got girls to try to impress. I got all this big stuff to do. I don't have time for homework. So I just quickly get through it, you know, just enough to get in there to get it done. And then when the grades came through, I'm looking at it and say, wow, I could have done a lot better than that. But I didn't take the time. Just didn't want to take the time to do that. We have to take time. The same thing about that can be said about studying God's Word. We can put in effort, we can put in time to find out what is God telling us, what is He saying to us, what does He want us to learn, or we can just glance through it, listen to sermons, sermonettes, Bible studies, whatever else, and let somebody else do the talking. I love books on tape. I love that. Because I can read a lot of books as long as somebody else is reading it to me. I really enjoy that, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is read it yourself. Stays with you. You find out a lot more of the detail, a lot more facts if you read it yourself. But we'll get out of our study what we put into it. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense or an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Can we give an answer why we are a member of the United Church of God and why we believe what we believe if someone asks? Are we able to do that? Or do we give the simple answer, well, Saturday's a Seventh-day Sabbath, that's a keep it, thank you, and move on? Or do we understand why we're here? Do we understand the process of conversion and our salvation and the whole, from our calling when God first began to work with us right up until now? Do we understand that whole process? 2 Timothy, if you turn there with me, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 2 in verse 14. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. The heading here is approved and disapproved workers. Approved and disapproved workers. It says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." A lot of things that we watch on TV, we read in books, are really, if we evaluate it correctly, are a waste of time. They don't do anything for us in a positive way. But no one should ever be able to turn us away from God's truth. No one should ever convince us or be able to convince us that what we read here in the scriptures is not God's truth. And we cannot allow ourselves to be carried away by strange doctrines, as it says in Hebrews 13:9. To be steadfast, to be solid. In 2 Timothy 4 and beginning in verse 1, it says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." We have a ministry. God's given us a ministry to preach the gospel to the world, just as Jesus Christ did. And we're warned not to turn away to fables, to something that isn't true, to something that may just be a long-standing tradition. Sounds good, feels good, looks good, but it's not the truth. And after much one-on-one prayer, and that's important, one-on-one prayer, asking God to give us, to give you and me the wisdom to understand and to put into practice his instruction for living an obedient life, a life that others see, a life that others look at and wonder what's different about that person. Because by their fruits, they'll know who we are. but living a life obedient, serving Him and Jesus Christ and our neighbor. How important it is, and Floyd talked about that. God's love for God and Jesus Christ and for each other. Ask God to help us have enough strength to overcome the deception Satan will put in front of us. That's all he has to do. That's all he does, is conjure up ways to cause us to stumble. We have to be aware of that. We have to have enough strength and enough education in God's Word to be able to overcome that and be able to walk around that and not trip over it. There are several other key things we must do as we prepare to study the Word of God in the pages of God's Word, in the pages of the Bible. The first thing we need to do is keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. And I say this, and this hopefully is more for the newer people, because I think if we've been in the church for years, we understand that. Our mind is driven and guided by God's Holy Spirit toward spiritual things, and we learn that through the years being in the church, through our years of study. We've come to that place where we know our mind has to be geared in a spiritual way. But some of our newer people may not understand or know that. So keep an open mind. Don't believe what you've always heard about God. And have a desire to search the Scriptures for proof. Let me see. Let me do as Mr. Armstrong said. Let me blow the dust off of that and check it out for myself. I want to see that for myself. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verse 16. We can't pick and choose. Well, I like this about the Bible, I don't like that. I like this part, I can do that, but man, the other one's a challenge, I don't think I can do that. But in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3 says, or 2 Timothy 3, says, all Scripture, it doesn't say some, or the ones you like, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for our education. All Scripture is inspired by God for our education. It doesn't say there's some that are and some aren't. If you watch a lot of these documentaries on the Bible and on events of the Bible, on the flood or on whatever, I think they even had one on, I'm trying to think of what it was. It was something, I think, with David and Goliath. Was it possible at all, looking at it scientifically, for David to kill Goliath? Was that possible? And they just did away with it. You know, I mean, they had so many what-ifs. Instead of saying, you know what, with God all things are possible. Thank you. Because that's what Scripture says. But they had to bring in all of these what ifs, what if this, what if that. And they just don't understand it because they don't understand the spiritual things of God. And we do. We know that David killed Goliath. We know because God was there guiding and directing what David was doing. We believe that. We know that. We don't question that. We have to understand that this Bible, these Scriptures, these words are inspired. They're given to these men, these authors, by God, and they're given to them to write down for us. So right away, we have to give God our undivided attention. He's aware of every word that these men have written in the Bible because he inspired them to write them down. This is God's Word. This is what God wants us to be taught from. This is our school book. This is how God educates us. Colossians chapter 2, if you turn there with me. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians 2 and verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. We have to be taught spiritual things by a spiritual teacher, by somebody who understands spiritual things. God tells us to be aware of these traditions because they're not according to Christ. They're not what God has written here for us to learn. They're not part of our education. But they have everything to do with the greed and selfishness of man. And we know what the trouble man has gotten himself into. As we begin to study, we must keep an open mind and allow God to teach us. Always allow God to take us by the hand and set us down and teach us. That's what He desires to do. 2 Timothy 2, and in verse 15. Some good instruction here that we can take to heart. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God has opened our minds to understand His truth. He's helping us day by day to gain more and more understanding, rightfully dividing the word of truth. If we don't study God's word, we won't be able to distinguish truth from fable. We just won't be. We have to keep an open mind and understand that God's in charge, not start looking for other sources of truth, not trying to develop our own source of truth. Well, God's working with me privately, and He's showing me all of these things. God doesn't do that. He's not showing me something He wouldn't show you. He's not teaching me anything He wouldn't teach you. So we have to go in with an open mind, understanding God has called each one of us to learn His truth and to be educated in His truth. The second thing we can do is humbly seek instruction and correction. Humbly seek instruction and correction. This is hard for some people. It's hard for some people to ask questions. I used to hate that. I'd go in and start a new job, and I would always hate that, to have to go ask my boss, well, I don't quite understand that. Can you show me again? I always wanted to think, well, you know, I got it. You told me once, I got it, I can do this. But I had to humble myself and go back, and rather than, you know, make thousands of dollars worth of junk, I had to go back, and probably a good idea to ask Him how to do it the right way. And that's what we have to do with God. God, I don't really understand this. I'm confused here on this particular scripture or whatever you happen to be studying, and I need your help. The great thing about having a relationship with God is we can be ourselves. We don't have to fool anybody. We can't fool anybody. We can't fool God. God knows us. He knows us inside and out. He knows how many times we struggle with our understanding of His word. It's not news to God that we don't, oh, I don't get that. How many of us have struggled with a scripture in our study and we go to services or we're in a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden it's clarified. Oh, that's, man, why didn't I see that before? Well, how do you think you saw it? It didn't just happen. God was answering your prayer. God was doing what you asked Him to do. He's helping you and clarifying His word so you understand it. But we have to be big enough and humble enough to admit that we don't know. We don't have all the answers. But God knows many times we struggle. He knows we're not the smartest person in the room. And he will correct us anytime we think that way. Matthew 5, if you turn there with me, Matthew 5, a verse we're all familiar with. Matthew 5. Matthew 5, and in verse 5. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Know your limitations. Know that you need help. Know when to call on God to help you. God wants that. As parents, don't we get excited when our children call us and say, "Hey, Dad, Mom, can you help me out with this? Can you help me understand this?" What an opportunity that is for us as parents to help our kids have a better understanding of something. God feels that same way. He wants us to understand. He longs for that. That builds our relationship. And lets him know, we want to know your truth. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first to understand what God's doing with man, what God's kingdom is all about. God says about Moses in the book of Numbers that Moses was very humble. Very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Humility. How many times is that mentioned in Scripture? Humility. Being humble. Showing ourselves humble. Being meek. Presenting ourselves to God without a mask on or without building a wall. Just here I am. And he knows who we are and asking him for help. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14. Luke 14 and verse 7. Luke 14 and verse 7. It says, so he told a parable to those, Christ, who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, so all of these people are coming in and looking for the best seat in the house. When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. How embarrassing would that be? You know, you've seen this on, I think they showed a news clip on that on The Price is Right the other day, where they all gave their prices, and the Hugh Carey or whatever his name is gave him the price. And this one guy, just he got so excited, and he was starting to go up there, and he had overbid. He was a little embarrassed, but he thought he had that best seat, but it belonged to somebody else. It's a little old lady walked up there. But, you know, we have to be careful when we go into somewhere, and you know, it's always nice to have the best seat, the best view, and all of that, but maybe that's not the seat we should be in. And verse 8, when you are invited to anyone to a wedding, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. You know, you got to drag your knuckles and go back to the back row, being embarrassed. But when you are invited, go sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, wait a minute, whoa, what are you doing way back there? Come on up to the good seats. Let them do that. Let the master of the wedding, the one who is in charge, do that. That he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humble. Humility. going to God and saying, God, I can't do this without you. I need your help. I'm trying to educate myself. I'm trying to understand. But I need your help. We read so many examples of how God looks for humility in people. Submit ourselves to God, seeking His will over anything else in our lives. That's what we're told in 1 Peter 5. To submit ourselves to God. Turn ourselves over to God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you turn there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. So you should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Fear God. God chastens us as a father would do that wants to correct his son in a loving way and wants his children to do the right thing. If we get off, if we get in a place where we lose our focus of God's truth, God will chasten us and get us back looking to his truth, looking into the pages of his Bible, looking to where we should be. God expects us to obey his laws just as we expect our children to obey our rules as parents. But our children have to know what our guidelines are. They have to understand what the rules are, just as we have to understand what are the rules God has laid out for us. What do we look for? What are we supposed to do? 2 Timothy 3, if you turn there with me. 2 Timothy 3. And we've read this earlier, but just the last part of verse 16. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why God's word has been given to us. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. To become more like Jesus Christ, more like God our Creator. To become focused on spiritual things. So humbly seek instruction and correction. And the third thing we can do is practice what we preach. Practice what we preach. What better way to become skilled at doing something than to practice it on a daily basis? And if we live as a Christian, if we live obedient to God every day, we will naturally get better at it. We will become more relaxed, more humble, more at ease in our relationship with God, more skilled in the ways of being a Christian. We may never be the person who can recite the Bible verse by verse. I envy those people who can read off Scripture. I can have a difficult time putting that to memory. But that's a good thing if you live by that. But if you can just recite it from memory and don't do anything about it, don't put it to practice in your life, it's pretty empty. So we don't have to be like that. We don't have to be the person who can recite Scripture. We may never be the person who knows the Bible from front to back. May never be that person. May just not be the way we were built. But any one of us can be the person who lives their life according to the Word of God as it is written in the Bible. Any one of us can be obedient to God. There's nobody here that cannot do that. We can all do that. But we need to know man's history. Know man's history. Know the mistakes that were made before us. How other can we learn? What other way can we learn? Know why God made the decision to create man in his own image. There was a reason for that. Why did God do that? Why did God do that? There's a reason. Do we know that? Have we studied that? Be educated in God's Word by knowing what destroyed the relationship between man and God. Knowing who man's number one enemy is and how he wages battle 24/7 trying to destroy him. How does Satan do that? Do we know? Do we know all of his weapons? Do we know what he uses? Know the history of people God used to lead others and those that are examples for you and me. Know who they are. Know about their life. Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, Samuel, David, Esther, Jeremiah, Daniel, John the Baptist, Joseph and Mary, and of course Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Martha, Paul, and many, many more. Do we know these people? Do we know about their lives? Do we know the example they set for us? Do we know how God used them? Do we know what we can learn from them? Do we make our personal Bible study a priority? And we as students of Jesus Christ, our teacher, as he's called in many scriptures, we will be coming up to graduation day sooner than we think. There will be a graduation day. Are we prepared for those finals? Are we prepared for that day? God's giving us a study book. He's given us all the help we need. Have we prepared and are we still preparing for that day? Because we know unless the world turns around and repents from sin, things are not going to improve. It's just not going to happen unless this world humbles itself and repents. But we could look at our education here in God's church, learning God's truth. We could look at that as job security. Because we're going to be needed. There's going to be a place for you and I. We can dedicate ourselves to being at the top of our class so when it's time to take our education and teach others what we've been taught, we are ready to go. We are prepared to do what God has trained us and prepared us and educated us to do. No doubt. We're ready to go. Bible study can be fun as well as educational if we take it to heart how much God, our Heavenly Father, desires us to be with Him, to ask Him questions, and have that desire to know more about Him. I don't do New Year's resolutions. I don't know if any of you do because most people, including myself, fail. And I don't like to fail. But we as a congregation could make it, not a resolution, but we could make it a goal to increase our Bible study during this next year. Increase it by whatever increase you want to do. But let's all increase it. Do more of it. Become more knowledgeable in God's Word. Learning more about what God has given us. Romans chapter 1. If you turn there with me. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. Says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Our faith grows when we study God's Word. It increases. So three things we can do. We can keep an open mind. Don't get hung up on old traditions of men. They're a waste of our valuable time. Number two, humbly seek instruction and correction. God corrects those who He loves. He wants us to get an A plus. He wants us to do well. And the third is practice what we preach. If we say we're a Christian, let's be a Christian. Let's not play games. God knows. But let's put into practice God's truth, what we know to be truth, what we've proven to be truth, and what we continually study and know is truth. So those are the things we can do. God's brought us here for that purpose. God's educating us for a purpose. And when we see the world, we see what four people can do, just like they did in France. The havoc, the terror that four people can cause to a world should get our attention. But this is the world we live in. These are the dangers that are out there. The solution? Man can't come up with it. Man can't come up with the solution. God has to. Mr. Rhodes pointed out in his speech today, goes back to many, many years ago, and what was prophesied for things like what happened this last week to take place. We can't solve these problems. God can. But that could happen here. That could happen anywhere. Those people in that newspaper office stood up for what they believed. Well, we stand up for what we believe. And do we know by studying God's word what we believe? We have to look at that. We have to be ready for that. So Bible study is very important. Let's make it a priority. Let's increase it this year. Let's make time for it so that we can be knowledgeable in the truth of God and can give an answer when someone calls on us. Why do you believe what you believe? We can give that answer for the hope that God's truth gives us.